Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two on this kind of a little dreary day here in St. Petersburg, Florida, on this Tampa Bay Rays Fan Fest Saturday, February 17th. I'm Mike Rickard alongside baseball Ben Botham. Across from me, of course, is Brad Richardson, the voice of Seminole Sports. Ray Kennedy has walked in the house. We've got baseball royalty in the house as well from a media perspective. Author Peter Gallenbach, we'll be talking to him for the next 15, 20 minutes before he goes over to across the street to Tropicana Field. And tell you what, the energy, the excitement is evident. Even at Ferg's, there's a smile on people's faces. Typically, you would think with the Super Bowl winding down this past Sunday, all the games and the action here. But baseball is the cornerstone of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill for obvious reasons. 80-some games the last 4 years, fortunately, to have a few more games. But he's got a party environment. There'll be 20,000 strong across the street. And I thought I saw the smile on baseball Ben Botham's face. I just talked about you, Mark. I said the smile on his face when he sees baseball is back. Is obviously evident. First pitch, of course, will be on March 28th, 3:30, against those Toronto Blue Jays that he chose last year to win the World Series.
It was close.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a little bit.
Not a bad choice.
I think they have a good team. I mean, Vegas still favors them quite a bit. They're definitely not, you know, underdogs by any stretch of the imagination. But like I said, Mike, their big new addition. Cup holders in their stadium.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Updates. Cup holders in stadium. You and I are going a road trip to Toronto.
Hey, I've never left the country, so I'm all for it.
Well, Peter, going back, I don't want to keep you too long because your lovely bride Wendy's here, and you want to get over there and get in line. But let's talk.
We're going to go downstairs and have wings.
Well, make sure you tell whoever the bartender.
Oh, I promise you I will.
They're on me. Yeah. How appropriate. Wings, wings, baseball on a dreary day February.
Fan Fest, 15 years ago, Fan Fest was the day my wife and I met.
Really?
We met on Valentine's Day at Fan Fest in 2009. It was the greatest day of my life.
Well, she's obviously a keeper.
Oh,
and she's put up with you.
She has put up with me.
So
every Fan Fest is even more special, even though, of course, the beginning of baseball season is bigger than Christmas, bigger than New Year's.
And that was on Valentine's Day?
That was on Valentine's Day.
Yes. Well, bravo, Wendy. And celebrating Valentine's Day, the day you met your lovely bride.
That's
and
right.
It was Fan Fest as
we
well.
We met on third base.
Now, that's one for the family archives. I met my wife at third base over at Tropicana Field on Valentine's Day at Fan Fest.
That's right.
Mark, you can't beat that one.
No.
And always the businessman that he is. Okay, so as you look at this 2024 season, your expectations, should they be as high as they have the last couple of years with the complete dissemination, basically, of our pitching staff? What's your opinion, Mr. Gallenbach?
I would never bet against the combination of our GM and our manager. Every year we pick the Rays. Oh, how can these guys, these nameless, faceless guys? You got a picture of Yandy Diaz sitting out here on the wall. And I was walking from the Trop over here looking at that picture, saying to myself, of the thousands and thousands of Rays fans, if you took away the name Yandy Diaz from the wall there, how many fans would know who that guy was? And I'll bet they're not two of them.
Very good point there.
You know,
very good
and
point.
That's
and that's been the MO.
That's right.
Maybe not from the start.
You know, a Rosarina is going to start. You know that name. And it's like, who else?
And they're going to keep Randy Land, boys.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Randy Land, make it even bigger and charge a little extra.
Exactly. It wasn't that. Isn't that the American way?
Yes, it is.
It's supply and demand.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, I'll say this real quick, too. I mean, you mentioned that a picture and all that. There's a statue of Imamura outside of the stadium now, crowning that one World Series moment. Mm-hmm. Same exact concept. Right. How many people would know that is his name other than that one memorable photo moment from that season? That was an amazing season, by the way.
If you're older than 60, you probably would know. But younger than that, probably not.
Well, and that's the reality of it. But you've got youngsters like these two. Yeah. They've grown up with the Rays.
Sure.
You're 25, right?
25. So
it's 26th season.
Yeah, so I'm about to be 26 this year. I'm as old as the Rays are. Of course, you know, the wonderful old gray lady across the street here, she's a little older than the Rays are, but that's, you know, great. It's a great team, and I'm really excited for this season.
Hey, Peter, I would like you to give this young man some tips on potentially meeting a bride over there. When the show's over, make sure you find Peter over there during FanFest, mm-hmm, and walk around. Maybe even and Michael Lawrence. These two could find brides over there.
He'll be my wingman. And
you guys would be in heaven the rest of your days because you would have a baseball partner as he has.
Well, I mean, life is really, really funny. We each had a friend, Annie Miller. Annie was a friend of Wendy's. Wendy lived in Sarasota. She was a friend of mine. She worked, every year we would go take a bus ride down to spring training, and I would talk baseball to the people involved. So she knew me, she knew her, and she was named one of the 5 fans of the year. I don't know if the Rays still do that, but she was one of the 5 fans of the year. If she had been the 6th fan of the year, we never would have met. So she, Annie, invited me and invited her to come to this gathering, and that's what happened. So, you know, you could wander around FanFest. There are a lot of pretty
girls. Yeah, come on.
You want some tips from the old man?
Girls?
Yeah.
I mean, Ben, I think Mike's suggesting that, you know, at your age now, it's time to think about settling down. I think as that.
I never said that.
Hey, it sounds like, I mean, you're, I think
I
it's.
I said
you're,
potential. Don't put words in my mouth.
Oh, hey. I don't. Hints are hints, though, Mike.
All right, let's get to Peter going back before he departs. I never shouldn't use that term. In our age group, that's a terrible term to use. Before he goes across the street,
yes,
to enjoy himself.
I will.
Let's do a better introduction. Of course, if you haven't heard our show, and we've been on the air now for 4 years, Peter Gollenbach is an accomplished, incredibly successful author. How many books now? 40-something?
That's a lot of books. I have a new one coming next month.
Let's talk about that and talk about some of your favorite baseball books before I let you go.
The Bronx Zoo that I did with Sparky Lyle was probably the biggest selling baseball book in history.
One of the most controversial books ever.
My very, very first book was Dynasty, which was the New York Yankees from 1949 to 1964. I did books with Greg Nettles. I did books with Billy Martin, number one, with Billy.
I got to get
I love Billy. I spent a whole year with him.
How'd your liver hold out?
No. The entire year. He had just punched out somebody, and so he was, you know, on the wagon, and for the entire year, he drank club soda and a twist of lime. We went to bars, and we talked in bars, but he didn't drink. It was really, really kind of interesting.
Was that one of George's, this is what you're going to do, Billy?
No, George hired him 5 times and fired him 5 times.
The good old days.
George would put so much pressure on him that Billy finally snapped and would do something to get himself fired. Also, George was the sort of person who couldn't stand to be criticized. And Billy hated George. I mean, quite frankly.
George hated you.
Well, I mean, Billy hated George. I mean,
he didn't like truth serum.
Yeah.
And our good friend Jeff Mangle, we've had on many times, and he's going to be coming down this year, and I want to make sure you're here.
Mm-hmm.
The former head trainer for the Yankees.
Oh, boy.
He's told me, he says, yeah, George didn't like a truth serum.
No.
Serum.
Well, George was like Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of them could have been twins. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
pretty good analysis.
George twice won championships. And those two championships both came after he was suspended from baseball for 2 years. Both times. The first time he gave money to Nixon's campaign illegally, and he was suspended for baseball for 2 years. And the general manager came and brought up all these players.
Who was Gene Michael the GM?
No, before him.
Gotcha.
Keep coming. Before him, from Cleveland.
I got nothing.
Oh, please. No, 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 no. Damn it. Anyhow, he had been from Cleveland. Anyhow, this fella built the team that won the championships in 76, 78, and 81.
With Reggie in the game.
And those people. And then after that, he was suspended for 2 years because he was getting dirt on Dave Winfield from some guy.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, and so he got suspended for 2 years. And Gene Michael had those five guys, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit.
Bernie Williams?
Bernie Williams and the catcher. Posada. Those five. George was going to get rid of all five of them.
Jeez, great decision-making, George.
After George was suspended, he didn't have the power to do it. And Gene Michael kept them all and started playing them. So by the time Gene came, all those guys were regulars, and they won more championships in the 90s and 2000s.
George gets a lot more accolades in the greater Tampa area than he deserves because
there were years,
his name's all over everything.
There were years where people had signs up there, fire George, in the stands at Yankee Stadium. He went 20 years between championships because he always wanted famous players who were over the hill.
Well, yeah, but look what he did to Dave Winfield, who's an incredible athlete, by the way.
That was criminal, quite frankly. I mean, you do that to your star player. That was criminal. All because he had put in Winfield's contract the notion that every year Winfield would get a raise in, you know, if
the performance?
No, raise in.
Hey.
No, percentage. Oh. If the percentage, if your money was worth more, he would get a raise. And some newspaper reporter wrote that and said, George didn't know this was in the contract. And George was so angry that he was found out that he decided he was going to get Winfield. And so he tried to fire him, but there was a no-trade contract in his contract, so he couldn't fire him. So all he could do was say nasty things about him. You know,
George was just a bit of a narcissist.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wanted to jump on that point real quick. You know, you talk about the famous and infamous side of George. You know, you just mentioned it around this area. George has high school's name after him. Obviously, George Steinbrenner Field. You know, he was a narcissist. But also, too, you look at the egotistical side of him. Did he ever, from your point of view, do you ever think he was afraid of just, you know, being known just for one thing more on the negative? Or do you think that he was like, you know what, I'm going to leave my mark here in Tampa Bay, and that's what it's going to be?
That's too much thinking.
Too much.
None of that.
None of that.
Absolutely none of that.
A lot simpler than that.
He was a reactor. He did what he did, you know, sort of the same way Trump does what he does, reacting to slights. You know, yeah. It was never his fault. He never did anything wrong. He was the boss. He was the smartest person in the room, and nobody else could tell him what to do.
You think that
in truth, of course, he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think that boils back to a New York mentality as well? Because both of them are from New York.
It's the narcissism. You were talking about narcissism and came to that. Gabe Paul was the first general manager.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it. So let's talk about some of your other books before you let you go. And the new one that
you
got.
The new book is called Baseball Heaven. These are interviews I've done over the last 50 years. Oh, so some of the greatest people ever. Now, of course, I've got to think of who they are. Happy Chandler, who was the commissioner of baseball, who allowed Jackie Robinson to come. I did a wonderful interview with him before I wrote my book, Bums. Owner of the Yankees, help me out, before Steinbrenner. There were two of them. Before CBS. Del Webb. Del Webb. I did a fabulous interview with Del Webb in his mansion in Los Angeles. He was sitting there. He had his 14 World Series rings laid out, and fabulous, fabulous guy who loved baseball, who was responsible for hiring Casey Stengel. And he talked about all, you know, the things he did, which allowed the Yankees to win all those championships. And Bobby Thompson, I interviewed for this book. And at the same time, Ralph Branca, who threw the pitch that lost the 1951 pennant for the Dodgers, and many others. Gary Carter is in this book. Gary and I were close friends. I love the guy. He died of brain cancer. It's terrible. So this is Baseball Heaven. If you're a baseball fan, I think you'd enjoy it.
Where can people find that, Peter?
You can find it right now on Amazon. In another month, you can find it in your bookstores.
Gotcha. All right. Your prediction for these Rays, and then we'll let you go over there and meander around.
My prediction is that the Rays will be a lot better than anybody thinks they are going to do, whatever that is.
Well, that's a simple, that's a safe prediction. Definitely.
Absolutely. Because nobody thinks they're ever going to win, ever. They haven't for 5 years. Nobody thinks the Rays are going to do it. Who are these people? Who's Baz?
How about last year's start?
Who's Springs? Who are these people?
Well, they certainly have advanced a lot of their administrators into other
Well, the smartest thing they did
clubs.
To sign their general manager for 7 years and to sign
Kevin Cash. Yeah.
Kevin Cash for 7 years. That's a really smart thing. Because if I was the owner of one of the other baseball teams, the first thing I would do is grab those two guys and get them hell out of Dodge.
Well, I'm looking forward to the season. We'll get you on a regular basis. They still calling your season tickets, memberships?
I'm a member.
Yeah, a member.
Yes,
I know how
member.
Happy you were about that last
yes,
year.
I'm a member. That allows me to go to FanFest an hour early.
Yeah, well, you were there 2 hours early.
I was.
All right, my friend. Well, you guys go down and get some wings and get over there and enjoy yourself. And I appreciate you taking time to.
Thanks
to
so much.
And thanks for inserting that JV decision that you and your buddy made to create
the
JV. That's pretty cool in Pinellas Park.
For 5 years, we ran Pinellas this County. JV program in Pinellas baseball. We had almost every single high school involved. We had a parent who coached each of the JV teams. And we had, a good 15-game schedule.
What'd you do with all that money you probably made?
No money.
I know.
There was no money.
I know it's a thankless job.
There was no money involved
job.
In any of it. And the sad thing really was, I really wanted somebody to take it up after my kid graduated. But nobody seemed to want to do it.
Well, they have one now, so that's great. He is Peter Gollenbach and his lovely bride met on 2009 Valentine's Day on third base.
Yes.
You should write a book about that.
At FanFest.
At FanFest.
Yes.
That makes the story even better. We got to get that on Spectrum News 9. That would be a great story. Thank you, Wendy, for taking the time to come over. Get some wings and sit down, Michael, if you want. I go that way.
This way.
Easier steps. Much easier steps. All right. Let's. Let's continue our baseball.
If we were talking about baseball, the bad man is officially going to be gone, Mike. Rob Manfred has announced that his tenure as MLB commissioner will end in January 2029.
Oh, look at that. Round of applause.
It's a great day in America. When I saw that news, I shed a tear of joy. The bad man is gone.
Same kind of tear that you would shed in terms of Billy Joel releasing a new song, Ben.
Oh, I
saw
that.
Billy Joel the other night. It was excellent. He was on, and I can't stand this cat. He was on the CBS late night show.
Colbert.
I can't stand him. Anyway, he was on there. Hey, we got some high school things that you did some work on, so let's make sure we get to those. The Body Armor Prep Connection. He's the voice of all Seminole sports, and
football and baseball and all that.
He's done a lot of broadcasts.
Eventually, Coach Walker will allow me to do that.
Baseball for us.
I'm girls basketball.
Oh, you're the girls basketball.
I am the voice of girls basketball.
Careful there, Benny.
I certainly am. I'm coming for you, Brad.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No, you're still second string to me, buddy.
All right. He's in the Hall of Fame. You, my friend, you got to get to learn all the rules of the game. Okay, so what do we got going on in the world of high school? I know a lot of things winding down.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I want to just point something out. This was a talking point and all for Largo. Let's just recognize real quick Coach Phil Price. He was a head coach of the boys basketball team for 27 years, 579 wins. I mean, this is a legacy with Largo basketball, and hopefully we can get him down here sometime talking to Coach Lehner and all the team. He's the AD. Also, too, with a big game. Ben obviously knows about this. Seminole versus St. Pete. Final score 52-36. Seminole this coming week will host Braden River at 7 p.m. Right now, Seminole is currently ranked number 105 in the state. They're 104th. Braden River is 105. So this is going to be a pretty solid matchup between them. Everything is pretty much going to be interesting to see how these go down. Also, too, we got to look at Gibbs. This is, of course, boys basketball versus Bayshore Bruins. Final score is 74-48 win. Gibbs will host Booker Tornadoes from Sarasota on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Gibbs is still in the top 50, although they had that loss to Seminole. They're ranked number 40. Booker is ranked at 199. We'll see how this goes. This is in Class 5A. But you know what? I want to point something out real quick, Mike. Keep in mind, Blake High School is actually in the same class as them, Class 5A. And we'll see how things go. And these two teams may face off again if they make it that far to a regional championship.
And that was an unbelievable game that we saw up there at the Sunbash Tournament at Northside Christian. That was one of the most exciting non-playoff games I'd ever seen regular season.
Absolutely. And like I said, that will be interesting to see. If they get that far, that game will be covered. I mean, it's going to be a revenge game for Blake, obviously. So on to girls basketball real quick. Gibbs, 4A regional finals. The Lady Gladiators barely beat Gateway Charter. Gateway 51-44 in the regional quarterfinals. But big news on Monday. Rivalry matchup as the Gibbs Gladiators will face off against Lakewood Spartans. We know how a Gibbs-Lakewood showdown happens. And the winner of that game will move on to the regional finals. Gibbs girls basketball right now is ranked 132. Keswick Christian is still alive in the Class 2A regional semifinals right now. Record of 23-4, ranked number 82. Keswick, did defeat Gulf Coast. They will be facing Evangelical Christian Sentinels on Monday. Evangelical is ranked number 33. This is going to be a tough game for Keswick Christian. Over into wrestling, this past week, CCC held the 1A District 9 playoffs. Big thing that happened with there is in second place, Braden Martin of St. Pete Catholic High School was in the 113 weight class, and third place, Brady Sayers of Northside Christian School. Today, Mike, Jesuit will host the 2A District 9 playoffs, and we'll be keeping contact then, because guess what? I finally found the website that's going to have every single result that's going to be going through.
Great work.
So now with baseball, real quick, preseason started this past week. Many teams across the Tampa Bay area participated in preseason tournaments. Some of the notable ones real quick. Nate Richardson preseason first pitch classic. That's my brother's preseason tournament. It's in its 10th year, and it's one of the oldest in Pinellas County. St. Pete Catholic Slam Academy in Pinellas Park were part of that. This is the first year of the Ernie Taylor preseason tournament at Northside Christian. That's probably what you were talking about earlier. CCC IMG Academy in Palm Harbor were a part of that. Calvary Christian's preseason tournament. This is the teams they had in it. Sickles, they were the 2023 6A state championships. Ended that season 30-2. Eastlake, 6A regional quarterfinal team in 2023, 22-5 last season. And then Hollins obviously was there too. They were the 5A regional quarterfinals in that final record that season was 16-12. And also too, at Indian Rocks Christian, the Sitton Gross Memorial Tournament, that featured, of course, Largo, Keswick Christian, and of course, the Indian Rocks Christian Eagles. Next week in tournaments, the Steve Georgiadis Memorial Baseball Tournament will be there.
That's you guys, right?
That'll be us, yeah. That will be, of course, they will host Seminole will host Bogasiga, CCC, Pinellas Park, Venice, which is going to be a good game to see, the Dunedin Falcons, the Hollins Royals, and the Countryside Cougars. And then, of course, the Packer Invitational is going to be there as is going to be next week as well. Taylor Lehner has started that tournament when he became head coach of the Packers, and he'll have a nice lineup in there as well. So we'll get a chance to see that. Obviously, regular season starts next week, and baseball Ben Botham will be keeping an eye on grades and also keeping an eye on the players to make sure they are ready for the season going forward. So, Benny, chime in.
You got plenty of momentum and motivation based on that top 15.
Oh yeah,
Joe Geiger.
Like I said before, I think his hat's on a little too tight. We got a good bunch of guys.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So who cares about your season
right.
Rankings?
And like I said, it's our legacy of greatness. And if we don't keep that up, then
palms up, baby. I like that.
Palms down.
Palms down.
Palms down.
Here's all most politicians shake their hands. Palms up.
What can I? Our whole goal is pretty much saying, what can we do for you, coach? How can we help this ball club? And that's what I like most about our guys is our guys aren't asking for handouts. They're not saying, coach, I need to play here. I need to do this. I need to do that. They're saying, what can I do to help this program? And that's why I think that we have such a good bunch of guys. They're going to continue this legacy of greatness. And our goal every year is to win a district championship and to make it to the state playoffs.
Well, let's take a quick break there, Matthew, up there in Clearwater, and then we'll come back. And we've got Michael Lortz in the house. We'll talk some more baseball, more Fan Fest. And I know I got a couple of guys that can talk baseball all day long. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages. We're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We are out back. We're looking at the trop right now as the line continues to grow. We'll have you do a breakdown of the line when you come back there, Ben. Give us a guesstimate on how many people are out there. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Back with Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here across from Tropicana Field on this Tampa Bay Rays Fan Fest, February 17th. Sitting across from me right now is Michael Lortz, the author. You were on just about 3 weeks ago, weren't you?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I was here for Royal Rumble when the WWE.
Yes. I got to hit rewind on my brain today.
Oh yeah.
I've been in a little bit of a fog. Brad Richardson, thank you very much for all you do for us, brother, and covering the world of high school sports. Brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. The rest of the show is brought to you by our good friends down there at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily, and of course Ice Pick Vodka and Shipyard Beer, and the Michelob Ultra for our golf productions. But you were down here for Royal Rumble. Give me a little preview of the zaniness, the craziness, the 48,000 people.
48,000. I've never seen Tropicana Field so electric since the 2008 World Series. It was loud. It was that WWE. It's like seeing Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. It's the lights, the event itself. It was. You walked in, and I mean, it didn't look anything like a baseball field. Yeah, they had a wrestling ring and the seats all over the field. You know, it was an event. It was pretty wild, and we had really good seats. The way they did it was, you know, turn a baseball field into a wrestling arena.
How many screens do they have? Would you guesstimate?
So they have a big jumbotron,
yep,
that comes down from the middle of the trop, just that's like a hockey rink.
They got four screens.
Four screens, and then they use the scoreboard. So the scoreboard out in right center field.
So if you're in the cheap seats, you really can't really tell who the heck is down there.
No, especially if you got two guys wearing red tights down in the ring. And, you know, some guys unique look, but some of the guys look very similar. So you're watching the jumbotron. You're watching jumbotron, or you're watching the scoreboard out there in right field. And you know that happens, and you know that's why you pay for the good seats.
Here's my reality. If I'm going to an event, I want to make certain that I. You can use those. That's not working. Use those babies. I want to be able to see. That's the reason I'm going in person.
Sure.
I've had plenty of opportunities to be in the cheap seats. And I maybe I'm a ticket snob because I've been in media.
Sounds like you're the upper class there, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
You got to be able to have, you know, a hot dog and a beer in the cheap seats. Come on, the bleacher
media
bowl.
Passes spoil you. I just got to tell you.
I can see that. You're, you know, you're the elite. You're the ivory tower now.
Yeah. I'm far from that. But I do like
box you got us last year. That was pretty sweet, Mike. I will say that.
What'd I get you?
The Hooters box.
Oh, you went to that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That was top notch, Mike.
Yeah. See, I'm out there in the stands where people are slopping mustard all over me and spilling their beer. I'm a man of the people.
You just went to the Hooters box because it was the Hooters box, Mike.
I let my surrounding cast take advantage of the cool stuff.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
I kind of always been that way, really.
But there's not a bad seat in America's Ballpark right across the street from Ferg's.
America's Ballpark.
It is.
Are we gonna have like a 3-hour, 4-hour show when they implode that baby?
Oh, yeah.
I hope I'm still on the planet. That's on 4 years.
24-hour dedication.
4 hours?
24.
Well, 4 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2028.
We'll do a 24-hour long show. At some point, I'm going to have to go over there and steal a brick or something from the stadium.
Or more than one.
Oh, buy a seat.
Several. I'm definitely buying
a seat. We should do some bizarre just assembly of all the guys that I've had on over the years.
Yep.
How old will I be? I'll be 71. I should still be able to hold on to the mic a little bit.
We'll wheel you over there, Mike.
Wheel my old ass over there.
I'll
prop me up. Weekend at Bernie's. Even if I pass because of the excitement, you guys keep me there for a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I'll get the American Legion out here. They'll play taps as the stadium's and we'll be good to go.
He's not kidding. He's a member of the American Legion at 25 years old.
Yeah, post 273, the best, largest post in the U.S. So.
Wow.
Well, you're the youngest guy by far.
I think I'm one of the youngest members 50. For sure.
I was thinking about doing that. There's an American Legion right by on Southwest Shore, right by the base.
I know, beautiful location. I know you're a frugal man. Why wouldn't you not join one? Because the prices are right.
Oh, it's $25 to join a year, and you get, you know, the
prices
and everything are great.
$50 to join a year now.
Is it $50?
Yeah, but
who cares?
It's great. Great company, great people. Tom Beck, one of our assistant coaches at Seminole, he actually brought back American Legion Baseball to the area and runs a really competitive team. So they give back not only to the military.
Is he the one that brought that back?
Yeah. We
got to get him on next year.
Oh, we certainly will. He's always looking for a way to not only promote the Legion, but promote American Legion Baseball. And he does a great job as the commander there at Post 273.
Well, you know, Joy Geiger, who's our Cracker Jack intern, he and a couple of his bogey buddies and in defense of them, they had a lot of passion for the game of baseball, but they were done as seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got to play American Legion ball last summer, you know, their last opportunity, and they were ecstatic. How long can you play Legion ball?
I believe it's till you're 19 years old. I think they got more summer maybe in them. Yeah, so it's a really great program that they do, and what they're doing this year is they're combining a lot of the teams here in Pinellas County to kind of create a super team to kind of take us to the regionals and then the state championship, which is
and prove that what Florida has is deep baseball.
And now I believe it's held at Jack Russell Stadium.
So, how cool is that?
A great location, and the renovations that they've done there, it's a great place to play. I remember growing up playing there with the winning inning because I never made the high school team until my senior year.
That's how strong you guys were?
Yeah, that's where we had to go play. Yeah, I never made it until my senior year.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where I played most of my ball games growing up. And so I have a real soft spot in my heart for Jack Russell Stadium.
And then you advanced to Division I.
I certainly did.
That's awesome.
Bravo.
Jack Russell's interesting because it's one of those, it's a former minor league stint. It's a former Philly sprint training. I wrote for before they moved to Bright House or Bay Care or whatever it is this year. They trained at Jack Russell for probably a good almost 40 years or so.
Yeah, that was the historic home of the Phillies, and they played there for quite a while. And you know, now I think it's St. Pete College that plays there.
Is it?
I think it's St. Pete College, and then one of the other, and then Clearwater High School plays there as well.
Yeah. Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, you know, there's so many. If I could talk about this for just a minute, there's so many former minor league or former spring training stadiums like scattered all over Florida. I'd love to see, and I've seen some ghost stadiums, if you will, in some books, but I'd love to see a book written that just covers all the locations where spring training or minor league ball has been played in places such as Leesburg and Ocala.
Right down there with the Rowdy Stadium, Al Lang.
I actually went to a spring game there, had to have been 1998 or 99.
Oh, wow.
For the Devil Rays. Took my two boys there, very young, and my stepdad, and we went down there. And then we watched that game. Must have been the last game of the spring. We stayed around long enough that we got to go over and watch them play across the street. And that's when I met Mark Ferguson.
Nice.
Hey. Yeah, for the first time. Yeah.
And it's all history from there, Mike.
History from that court. I thought I'd been down here living here. Hey, so let's talk about this race season. Well, let's talk about, you guys are both ecstatic about FanFest.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's one of the best events that the Rays do. I mean, it's awesome. It gets everybody out in the community. Look at the parking lot. It's absolutely filled. I mean, the line is stretching down to the apartment buildings back there again. And this is every year. There's always an amazing amount of people. And like I said before, if you bring three canned goods, you'll get a voucher for a ticket later on this season. So, I mean, the radio.
Steal some green beans out of grandma's cupboards and
Campbell's soup. You buy two for one and you turn both of them in.
Exactly.
and everything's at an affordable price. So they're trying to give back to the community in some way. You know, you can't give everything away for free, but items are all $5 at the charity yard sale. And so this is going to give everybody an opportunity to get some race swag to, you know, put something on and get it out there.
Would you do me a favor, in all seriousness, one of you, if I give you, let's say, $40, get me a few things for the set this year. I want to start looking like the Pat McAfee set.
Oh yeah, with all kinds of little
all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So if you see anything cool like that, because my stuff's getting stolen or beat up or.
Well, Raymond over here, your Raymond bobblehead looks like he's from 1998. Well, he's definitely from 2008. He's raised.
I'd like to think I look a little bit better than him.
He looks a little rough. Is that the year you were born?
Yeah, the year I was born.
No offense. He looks like he seems better. He looks like he just needs to be
When did the cowbells come into play? What year was
2008.
That?
Yeah.
2008.
Oh, was that for the World Series?
Yeah, well, it was before that because Stu Sternberg really liked the Will Ferrell Need More Cowbell sketch from Saturday Night Live. So they were
that
playing
that was the it. Reasoning behind it?
That was the reasoning. They needed a noisemaker. As far as I know,
give me a little rendition of Saturday Night Live there.
There we go.
And he really liked that cowbell sketch from Saturday
Will Ferrell,
Live.
Will Ferrell can't hold a candle to you, pal.
I'm trying, you know. And then they had the Cowbell Kid who came out for a few years. He stopped coming out, but I guess there's a new Cowbell Kid, a younger new Cowbell Kid a couple years ago who came out and ring the cowbell.
I did a little more hip hop to it.
Yeah, you know, they put a backbeat to it. Yeah. I think the cowbells need to make a comeback. I think that place was loud and it annoyed the opposing fans, and that's what we need.
It also annoyed a lot of fans in general. So also, here's another way to get a free ticket at FanFest. If you bring your e-waste to Lot 9 during FanFest, you'll also receive a ticket voucher for the 2024 season. So the Rays are doing multiple things to get
a lot of seats. Ticket giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
Are they doing the $10 tickets again this year?
I haven't seen that. I saw there was a flash sale.
I knew Randy Land.
A few days ago, there was a flash sale. I forgot what it was. And it was really cheap tickets, but I think it expired yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they're always doing something. There'll probably be another promotion. I know they were talking about the three ticket pack, flexible pack that they're going to be promoting today specifically. So there's plenty of opportunities to get your tickets. But did you see they released the 2024 promotional schedule, Mike?
I forgot a lot of them giving away.
Are you excited for the Flappy Boy zip up hoodie?
Oh, I saw that.
It's a big meme online. Is like it's a devil ray.
I know who it is.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're doing a jacket like that, and it zips up over your face where you're covered by the Flappy Boy face.
And it's got the wings.
Yeah, the flaps. So that way you're like a big devil ray. They're even doing a Randy Rose Arena luchador mask on Sunday. January, February, March, April, May 5th against the Mets. You can get a Jose Siri replica necklace on the 31st against the Blue Jays, and a schedule magnet on Thursday.
My schedule magnet now.
Oh, yeah.
I need it now. I got the old one still in my fridge.
I know somebody.
I'm a magnet guy.
I know a guy that collected all the way from 98. He had every one of them. Every schedule magnet from Ray's Devil Rays history.
That's pretty sweet there.
Grab the old man anything you can.
Yeah.
you know, cash wise, free wise. I'm gonna ray it up this year.
I like picking up their press books that they have, and it kind of goes in a deep dive on each one of the players, where they're from.
That'd be good for us here
and stuff. Yeah, I've been starting to kind of piece some of them together.
Well, I don't need that. I got Baseball Ben Botham everywhere.
Well, where do you think I'm getting it from?
Well, that's good.
I got to read something.
I got some press guides from old minor leagues, about 2010 to 2012.
That's pretty sweet. Oh yeah, hey, yeah. I love all that kind of stuff. Looking through it and. It was really cool when we got to see Brett Phillips, and you see Seminole High School in bold right in there. So
he's
with the White Sox now. Yeah. Yep,
he's on the South Side.
Yeah, and Joey Crable, of course, another Seminole alum. He's with the Mariners now.
Really?
Yep, he just signed with the Mariners, so I'm excited for him. I don't know why he's not getting.
Brett's not going to dig it on the South Side. You ever been to that stadium?
No.
Well, they're building a new one.
Yeah.
Why they'd keep it on the South Side, which is. Horrible. My daughter lives in Wrigleyville, and which is getting a little dicey. The entire city of Chicago is going to hell. But anyway, he's with the Sox, huh?
Yeah, he's with the Sox now.
He deserves better.
He does. I hope he gets.
Talk about a flop last year, the Sox.
Yeah. I didn't
wish
have
Brett Phillips would come back. I hope the Rays employ him in an ambassador position when his career's done.
He'd be superb.
Such a great job.
Does he live here off season?
No, he lives in Texas with his wife.
Is that where she's from?
Yeah, she's from there.
Let her wear the pants. Well, you're a baseball player. You're traveling all the time. You better make sure Mama Bear's base close to family.
Yeah, so I'm really, though, excited. I think Joey Crable, that this is going to be a big year for him. I think he's one of the better talents we've ever had come out of Seminole, even though he hasn't gotten a lot of play time. But every time he's in there, he's doing great. He's got a good ERA for a closing kind of relief guy pitcher, and he's got a real unique arm slot, kind of a three-quarters sidearm arm slot, and he dominates out there. He consecutively chucks in the mid-90s. He's a great player, and I really expect this to be a big year for him.
What do you think of the staff they have to start the season out with? You know, we really don't. Who's the ace?
Eflin.
You want that as your ace?
No, I mean he's better, probably better as a two or a three.
Exactly.
But he's what we got right now. Is he the opening day starter, or are they just not?
I don't know if
they. I don't think they've made an announcement on opening day starter.
I mean, Savali could be your ace. He was mixed bag last year. It felt like.
What was the kid that came up and had some early success? Was it Richardson?
Or maybe they might go Taj Bradley.
That's the kid I'm thinking.
Yeah. But he just did not look ready last year.
A couple of outings he did, and he thought, here we go.
He looked great, yeah.
And then he'd go back up to Durham, and he just gets blasted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or he'd give up like six runs in a game against somebody. And you're just like, all right.
Are they counting on him in the rotation this year?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, he will. I'm just reading the MLB.com. He's listed fifth. So he could be starting Durham and come back up and down. I mean, hopefully he sinks in at the big league level. And
I mean, hey, there's still a guy.
He's only 23.
There's still a guy out there though that I've been hot on, and that's Trevor Bauer. He's still out there. Why don't we bring him in?
You did say that.
That's a hot button right
there.
He wants to
play for a team, and
it turned out it was a sham.
Right.
He was proven innocent. And I don't care. In today's world, are you kidding me? Get over it, everybody. This is today's world, and you believe the woman who had done this to other ball players, and she's probably out there right now setting up some poor peon. But the bottom line.
He did amazing in Japan. He played his butt off. And now he's ready to come back, and he wants to play for a Major League Baseball team. And I don't think there's any better place than right here at Tropicana Field. I think he would do
call
amazing.
Call Stu tonight when you get home.
I got him on speed dial. He hasn't been answering my calls, Mike. I don't know what's going on.
It would be interesting because they had Josh Lukey several years ago, who was he was actually found guilty of like kidnapping a woman in the minor leagues and assault and all sorts of stuff. And the Rays had him on for about half a season.
That was a little controversial.
Oh yeah. And even the fans.
Was he proven innocent or guilty, or what was his deal?
I think he was guilty or he got off on a technicality or something. And all the fans were like, the Rays need to talk about this. The Rays need to address.
Were the Rays winning then?
I want to say this was like
nobody gave a damn.
2013-14 seasons where it was like the end of Madden, beginning of Cash. And they were just like trying to get bodies because they were rebuilding the front office. Mm-hmm. And they signed Josh Lukey. And Lukey and the fans were like, you need to address this. This guy has a background. And the Rays never addressed it. And then they just let him go at the end of the season.
Just swept it under the rug and never brought him back.
Hey, but at least this guy wasn't convicted. They was found innocent. They weren't able to, you know, press any charges.
Okay, well, that's your wish list.
I would love to see Trevor Bauer in there, because I think he would help get us over the edge. Because you see, we have this, like, not a June swoon, but we get to the playoffs and it's a completely different team. Sure. It's like we can't figure it out. The Kevin Cash model.
Well, there's not a whole lot to figure out. You don't have a lot of pieces right now, knowing more how they're going to fit together.
Right.
And that's why these guys are masters of that. Mm-hmm. But my question is this: is the bullpen, or you don't even call it a bullpen, are the relievers that might start? Where are we this year as far as that kind of depth?
I mean, they've got some really good arms in the pen. Fairbanks.
A lot of arms.
Phil Maton, is it? Matton?
Yeah, I think
the guy they just signed from Houston.
Fairbanks was ranked in the top 10 pitchers, I think, for MLB, I think they released.
And then Jason Adams comes back. You know, they've got some really good arms in the bullpen, but how many of them are more than 2-inning guys?
That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at this.
You're looking at every game, you're going to have 6 pitchers?
Yeah. Well, Pete Fairbanks ranked 3rd in top 10 for MLB, which is great for the Rays. It shows that we do have good pitching.
We got arms.
They're there.
Yeah.
And
we just don't have starters.
I mean, the big three, it's Springs, Rasmussen, and McClanahan and Boz. None of them are starting the season.
Yeah, they're all still working back from injuries.
What's the deal on Boz?
I think it's still just working back from injuries, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. There's talk that he might come back this year. And then Rasmussen and Springs, probably by September, maybe they start coming back.
You know what, fellas? We talk about it all the time. And we want to have Jeff Mangold on, the former trainer. We talk about the injury bug that hits the Rays. I pick up the New York Post every day. And you look at what happened to the Yankees. You look at the Mets. You look at Houston. Every team in this generation, and I think it goes back to the young guys, in this generation, there are more injuries because there's more demanded of the machine, the human body, and it's pushed further, and they expect more out of it, and I think they're breaking down more frequently.
I think so.
Does that make any sense?
Well, in my opinion, just from what I've seen and, you know, having played baseball at a high level.
You were smart.
I did the natural motion of the arm, which is underhand. What I see is there's all these pitching wizards out there now, these hitting wizards that are selling these kids snake oil. Sure, you're throwing harder. Grab these weighted balls and chuck them as hard as you can into a fence. Okay, you're going to build some arm strength, but you're not learning proper technique. You're not learning how to throw the ball properly. You're throwing more balls. You're walking more kids. But look, you got a 9-0. You got a 9-5. You know, who cares if you can't throw strikes?
I'm going to ask you a question before it escapes me. That young man that's going to the University of Texas to be a Cougar.
Houston.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Kendall Hoffman.
Now, he's throwing 5 different pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I have no issue with a lot of different pitches as long as they're thrown properly. You know, if you're a guy who's I believe it's called supernating instead of pronating, that's going to hurt your arm in the long run.
Okay, you don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't.
And he's in conversations with the coaching staff at Houston, and you guys obviously know what you're doing.
Yep.
With arms at Seminole with your history.
Okay. Because there's a lot. You're good.
I was curious.
If you talk to a lot of the old timers, like I talked to a lot of old Negro League ball players, or even guys from the 70s, 80s. And the way that they threw,
I talked to Mickey Lolich at length.
Yeah, it's not
2 hours.
They're not, you know, snapping the ball this way. It's about finger pressure and how they're releasing the ball and getting that whip on the ball. And that's how you protect your arm. A lot of these guys, look at Satchel Paige. He did triple headers day after day after day, and his arm never gave out. And he's throwing just as hard as these guys. Where as much as modern baseball likes to tell you that nobody threw hard back in the day, everyone was throwing 40 miles an hour.
That's
a load of malarkey. It's absolutely untrue, because if you have guys like Bob Feller, who was a fireballer, or Walter Johnson, the big train, throwing the ball, sure.
The heater from Van Meter, Iowa, exactly. Bobby Feller.
He finally got dead arm back in the day, but that's after a 20-year pitching career and throwing more pitches than any of these guys ever imagined.
But if you were to go one-to-one and you say, okay, Bob Feller, Justin Verlander, you know, okay.
I'd rather have Bob Feller.
But what I'm saying is, like, you say for every Bob Feller, there's a Justin Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for Garrett Cole, Sam McDowell or Walter Johnson or something like that.
Hey, we're going to get Sam on in 3 weeks, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Now you take your elite pitchers. now you got your guys who are only lasting 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Are we cycling through more guys in 4 or 5 years, or is that ratio the same of just, I don't want to say average pitchers, because your elite is always going to be your elite, mm-hmm. the Nolan Ryans, the Roger Clemens. Sure. But then you got a Kerry Wood who burns out in 3 years, or a Mark Pryor who burns out in 3 years.
I was with the Cubs when that happened.
Mario Soto burned out in a few years in the 80s. You know, Doc Gooden even lost his fastball. I mean, although he had a lot of off-the-field issues. There are a lot of people who lose their fastball. Frank Tanana lost, you know, in the 70s.
Minnesota Vikings, baby.
You have so many guys who just didn't keep up, who are normal pitchers, mm-hmm. that who's just genetically are not as blessed as the Verlanders and the Bob Feldes.
Sure. No, there's definitely guys who just aren't built to throw 20 years in the majors. That's just a hard fact of life. That's how it works. But I do think it starts from the developmental side, where these kids, they're not learning proper technique. They're not learning proper arm care. They're snapping off curveballs at the age of 8. And you're wondering why they're blowing out their UCLs and why they're having so many arm problems and why they're getting tired of baseball. They need to be looking at the fundamental side of baseball, how to throw a strike, how to hit your corners, how to throw up, how to throw down. That is the most important part, because if you can't do that, you're never going to be able to throw your curveball for your strike or your slider.
He's baseball Ben Botham. We've only got 3 minutes, fellas. You're going across the street.
I might end up over there.
You're going across the street.
I'm definitely going over there.
And so we're going to get you on more often.
Awesome.
For our race segments. Yeah. Plan on opening day, if you can get off work, coming down as soon as you get. Opening day, you'll have baseball.
I have tickets to opening day.
Okay, because I'm gonna do a 3-hour show right out here in the parking lot.
Okay,
and I'm gonna accumulate as many of the local guys that I know that are still live in the area that have played in the MLB, and we'll awesome. Have a lot of fun. We'll make it an all baseball show, kind of like we're doing today.
Yeah.
Hey, put a quick plug in for the book.
My book's Curveball at the Crossroads. You can find it on Amazon, any local bookstore. I have a book signing coming up at Grindhouse Brewing in Clearwater on March 3rd.
That's a cool place right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a very cool place.
I know where it's at. Which book did you pick up from the master?
Had Peter sign Amazing, the Miraculous History of New York's Beloved
Team. Oh, yeah,
team.
You're a Mets fan.
It's a Mets book. It's about 700 pages of Mets history.
We are very blessed to have him in our area, especially you being a historian. I mean, 40-some books. I mean, and the guy just keeps cranking them out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Met his wife on Valentine's Day at FanFest at third base.
He's going to be my wingman today.
Get over there and start doing some research on maybe some of the staff at the Rays.
Hey, you be my in there. I don't know if the Rays like me too much. I'm a little critical of them. But, you know,
we'll critical see. Of everybody. However,
that's how you know I like them.
Exactly. I was going to say, you want them to overachieve.
Yes.
Hey, I was very impressed, by the way. You know, I love you, but I was very impressed by the respect that your players have for you.
We have a very respectful bunch of young.
No, their appreciation for you as a young guy, as a coach, but you got emotional equity up there at Seminole. Mm-hmm. You and I are going to have to go watch them play when they're in the playoffs.
Yeah. Send me a schedule and we'll go.
They're preseason ranked number 6, though. Where did that come from?
Like I said, he needs a bigger hat or something.
Joey Geiger's not even here to defend himself. Well, that was a great show, baseball theme. Exciting. Looking forward to the season starting. When's the first preseason game?
Next week? We just had our preseason game. That was the
No, I'm talking about Rays.
Oh, Rays?
Next week, right?
Yeah, next week, I believe. I think they kind of start up pretty soon, yeah.
Baseball is here. So, Andy DeLay, of course, that's the Burning Rubber Radio and the Daytona 500, probably Monday night. Peter Gollenbach, Michael Lord, Seminole Baseball, okay, Brad Richardson, Ben Botham, Joe Bertrand, Matt on the controls up in Clearwater. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Play ball. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.